friends. Welcome to Sky House Herbs Podcast. I'm Ashley Ellenboss, a clinical herbalist, and in this space, I share my knowledge and experience with plant medicine to help you on your own journey of healing and transformation. Join me in exploring the ancient wisdom of plant spirit medicine and how it can be used to heal the body, mind, and spirit. We'll talk to experts in the field and share stories from people who've been transformed by powerful plant allies. New episodes are released each Monday, so please subscribe. And now, let's explore this mystical world of plant medicine together. Hey everyone, welcome in. Today we'll be talking about sleep, and particularly we'll start with poppies, which are a plant that are very well known for its long history of use with sleep. We'll talk about different times of or different types of sleeplessness, like different issues people run into with sleep, and then some of my favorite herbs that will help. I'm doing a few things a little different today. One is I'm recording at night, so like the light looks really different. I don't know, I'm like, is this okay? One of the reasons why I'm recording at night is because I too have been having sleeplessness because my kids have been sick. So both my girls are sick right now, and I was up in all hours of the night with them coughing, and then all the things that happen when kids get really sick and they just, you know, just need mom. So normally I record during the day, but because I was up all night and the day was with them, I am now sneaking away to record this for you and to talk about this very important topic. Before I do, if you haven't already, please subscribe to my channel. It helps other people to find me and to learn about herbs like these, and also like the video because then I know you watched it and that you liked it. And as always, I love your comments and feedback. So please never hesitate to leave a little comment. Let me know what you thought. All right, let's talk about poppies. And I always think of poppies from The Wizard of Oz, that you know, quintessential poppy scene where the wicked witch from the West, she goes, "Poppies, poppies, poppies will make them sleep." Do you remember that? I love that scene. And then she like waves her big wand over the field, and it's covered in red poppies. And then Dorothy and her friends start to get sleepy, and then they slowly kind of are out of their mind, start to fall into a deep slumber. And it's interesting because poppies have such a long history of use as a soporific, as a sense duller, to be used for sleep, to be used for pain relief. And in the movie, one of the interesting symbols of poppies is, you know, what the Wicked Witch of the West is trying to do is to thwart Dorothy from her path, right? She's trying to basically put her into a stupor so she can't meet the Wizard of Oz. And so, you know, poppies are sometimes symbolized by kind of a side path that can keep us from getting where we're going. And I was thinking about this because I think one of the problems with sleep is that we often think, I know not probably a lot of you listeners, but a lot of people think, oh, I don't need that much sleep because like sleep is overrated. Like if I just, you know, get 7 hours, I can totally be fine because production is more important than rest. But I know you all don't believe that. So I'm speaking to the choir here when I say that rest is important, and that rest actually helps you on your path. It actually helps you to become more effective. It helps with brain chemistry, right? And there's so many studies that show that we function on so many different, physically, mentally, emotionally, on such higher levels when we get adequate sleep. So this idea of poppies somehow keeping us from, you know, where we're supposed to go, I'm like, well, you know, rest. Yeah, that was kind of an interesting subplot there in The Wizard of Oz. But I think what we can do is, as our takeaway, is be like, you know, what are the tools? Like, what are the allies we can use to help us get maximum sleep so that we can do what we're meant to do? We can live the life we're meant to live. We can climb the mountains we're meant to climb in a way that is full of health and vigor, right? And not just like clutching and grabbing and clawing our way to the top of the hill. So one thing that I wanted to say about sleep before we get too far into poppies in particular and herbs, Is that, you know, in general, most people need to be like in bed resting for 8 to 9 hours. So just because you laid down and woke up and you were laying down for 7 hours, it doesn't mean you got 7 hours of sleep. It means you started and ended your process of sleep in 7 hours. One thing that I think everyone would benefit for is a little bit of a longer runway. So when we think about sleep preparation, we want to think about that half an hour before sleep. One of my teachers in school called it sleep hygiene, and I really like that idea. So it's like, you know, what are the things we're doing to create the environment that is most conducive to rest? One thing is putting screens away and turning screens off. Another one is dimming lights in our physical environment. No really loud sounds, more relaxing conversation, maybe taking a hot bath, right? There, you know, you can just imagine, I'm sure, all of the ways that would help prep your body. And if you think about starting that half an hour before you actually close your eyes, that's going to really drastically help you into the space of falling asleep. And if you especially have a hard time falling asleep, try that, like, and even give yourself a 15-minute runway and do some practices, maybe meditation. I like to count backwards, you know, just something that's going to be like restful and helping you go down into that sleep state. And not eating, trying not to eat an hour before bed. That's ideal. And if you notice that you wake up in the middle of the night because of blood sugar crashes, like eating a few almonds or something with fat and protein, but in general, really trying to go to bed on an empty stomach will also improve your sleep. There's probably a million more things I can say, but I think that's enough for now, because I want to talk about the plants too. So let's talk about poppies and what makes poppy a really interesting plant for us to explore in regards to sleep. I made some slides. I'm going to try to figure this out because I wanted to share some pictures of the plants I'm talking about with you, because I feel like sometimes that can be so helpful when you are learning about plants. It's like, well, where does this plant grow? What does it actually even look like? So let's take a look at that. I am going to screen share with you. Let's hop on over. And then we will put this into slideshow mode. But let's go back to this one. Yeah. Okay. So hopefully you can see my screen. And I've got a beautiful poppy, a field of poppies from ancient Greece, or actually this is from Crete, an image of a wild field of poppies, and then the close-up poppy flower. And they're just captivating. These flowers are just, they're mesmerizing, and for good reason. You know, I think they draw us in on a level of like Venusian or like just on their beauty alone. That red bright color is just, you know, it really awakens our senses and draws us to it. And so for thousands, you know, thousands and thousands of years, really this plant originated, we think, in the Mediterranean. So, you know, ancient Greece and throughout Italy and all of those areas, that they use this plant for sleep. And interestingly, did you know that they used poppies for sleep with infants all the way up until the 18th century? And then it was in children's sleep. It was recommended as a children's sleep in a formula for kids up until the early 20th century. So I'm not going to recommend that you dose your infants with poppy. you know, we now know that it can cause some problems with breathing. You know, it's a central nervous system depressant. So it will, you know, it'll slow all the senses and all the vital processes down, which, you know, that's tricky business when it comes to babies. So I'm not going to say we do that. But what I do want to point out in that, in knowing that, is that this plant, when used appropriately, is safe. And at appropriate doses, it is safe. And it's also a hypnotic. And I think this is an important part of what sets this medicine apart from some of the others I'm going to talk about, is that as a hypnotic, this plant alters our consciousness. And I find that when using this plant for people that have chronic sleep problems, just a little bit can help shift the way they think about their sleep. And that's really common with things that are consciousness altering, or, you know, we call this class of specifically hypnotics or soporifics, but they will shift our perspective. Like, it's almost like the way that I see it is that the plant consciousness, so the consciousness of poppies, comes into our body and our mind and says, hey, look at this. Let's turn this around a little bit. Let's explore this from a different angle. You know, do you see what I see? Right? Like, and it shows you, look, we can just be open and free in a field. We can just be open and relaxed to the breeze that blows through us. And sometimes just having a slight shift in the way we perceive ourselves and our attachment to sleep, especially if we've had chronic sleep problems, that might be enough to break the cycle that allows us to let go of control and start to move into a more natural sleep state. So I offer that as a suggestion and as an idea. I also want to say that this plant does contain some opioid compounds. So it can be potentially addictive. And so if you have had any issues with addiction in your past, especially to morphine or opium containing plants or substances, I would actually avoid this. You know, it's almost like you probably learned the lessons you needed. Probably not best to open that door back up, right? Like, keep that door closed. If you opened it and bad things happened, just close the door again and you can go on to the next plant. If that's not something that you've had to deal with, then in small doses, and I would say maybe 2 weeks on, 1 week off, you can start to explore this plant. I like this one as a tincture. I think the name of this plant, Papaver somniferum, the name poppy actually also comes from the word juice, which is the juice that we use to make the poppy extract, comes from the heads. It's like the flower seed pods. We score it a little bit, and then this white latex-like substance comes out, and then we gather that, and that's what we use in the tincture. So you can buy it in a powder, but I think a tincture really works nice, and it also, I think, captures the essence and the teaching of the plant, right? Like, it's a little closer to its original form. And I think it informs us a little bit more fully when it's preserved in that way. So as a tincture, you can start really small. I would start with 3 drops 30 minutes before bed and just let it sit on your tongue. Say hello to poppy. Say thank you for working with me. I'm open to your teaching, and just see how that night's sleep goes. If it worked really well, stick with that dose. You don't have to go any higher. If you feel like, oh, I got a little whisper of something, it was a little helpful, but I didn't really quite get enough, then increase by 2 drops every night. And I would say you could probably go up to, I'm going to be more conservative than maybe other herbalists, but I'm going to say maybe you can go up to like 15 drops. But I really don't think most of us need more than that to work with this medicine effectively. And then, you know, after 2 weeks, just take a week off and see how your body does. And, you know, you can cycle like that. And that's a really safe way to work with this plant. If you also want to work even on a more minute level or work on an energetic level with this plant, try the flower essence. And that doesn't have any of the, you know, alkaloids or any of the opioids in it. So if you want an opioid or, you know, morphine-free experience of poppies, try the flower essence and just do 1 or 2 drops on your tongue before bed. I think that's all I want to say about this. There are some varieties that don't have any morphinans, which are the opioid-like compounds. And this is the Papaver argemone, Papaver apulum, and the last one is hybridum. I haven't worked with these specifically. I'm curious. I'm going to try to see if I can find them because I feel like I'd like to explore those maybe with my kids. And those were the ones that were used in Cretan folk medicine in children's remedies. And there was an article published in the National Library of Medicine looking at historical texts and uses of poppy for infants and children. And they did find that they did use more often these other species that don't contain the morphinans in them. So I thought that was interesting. I was like, I'm gonna check that out. I want to see. All right. So now let's talk about some other herbs. Let's talk about skullcap. This is another herb. This is probably the one that I use the most for me and my family when it comes to sleep. The Latin name is Scutellaria lateriflora, and it grows near creeks and rivers. I wanted to show you this picture because I just think it's nice to see like the plant, where it grows in nature, where is its natural habitat. So it grows by clear streams. You know, it really likes running water. And if you think about, gosh, like I like running water. What helps me fall asleep? Boy, ocean sounds and running water. Like that's pretty relaxing for the nervous system. So this plant embodies that energy of slow moving water. And I find it to be a really, it's wonderful for kids. Just the other night, my younger daughter, Summer, she's having some transits right now to her natal Saturn and her moon. And she's just been having like nightmares and night terrors. And she slept walked for the first time. And she's been just really scared to go to sleep because she'll go to sleep and then she will have a hard time waking up. Like, I don't know if you've ever had those night terrors where you're like, I want to wake up. I want to wake up. And your body is like stuck. And she was explaining that to me. And I was like, oh yeah, honey, I know exactly. That's really scary. Those are really scary. So I gave her some mugwort and rue in a bag under her pillow. So she sleeps with that and she'll crush it up and smell it. And I think that's kind of, that's one thing that can be helpful. I think for kids to have something they can touch and smell and feel is helpful for them. Maybe for us adults too, but you know, I gave her that. That worked well the first night. Then the second night she was still, I can't fall asleep. I don't want to go to sleep. And so I gave her 2 droppers full of skullcap. It's a little less than 5 milliliters. And you know what? She fell asleep and she'd been up maybe 3 or 4 times, like crying about not wanting to go to sleep. And I said, you know what, honey, I'm going to give you, and she actually, you know what? She actually asked for the skullcap. I was like, I can give you some herbs to help you sleep. And she's like skullcap. And I was like, yeah, like skullcap. I mean, this is the cool thing about using herbs with kids is they start to know them and they start to intuitively know which ones they want. So she was like skullcap. And I was like, yeah. So we grabbed it from, I keep it in their medicine cabinet because I use it so often. And I gave her 2 droppers full and she was asleep and slept the whole night and didn't have any night terrors and then was able to wake herself up in the morning because that's, you know, been a problem is waking up too. And she was totally fine. So now we're doing that. That's like, I think going to be a thing until this transit ends in maybe about a month. So that's something that you can use for kids. One of the ways that I think skullcap works really well is if you have a lot of racing thoughts, and let's just say that your mind is like, let's say you have like 10 plates in the air. You're like, oh gosh, I got to do this thing for work. Oh, I can't forget to pick this thing up that's been waiting. I've got to make this appointment. Like if you keep going through the Rolodex of all the things you have to do and your mind's kind of jumping around, skullcap will stop the jumping. It's like putting a warm, relaxing blanket on your mind and just everything starts to go, oh, right, we're okay. I don't have to solve all the world's problems before I fall asleep tonight. I can just relax. I can be here and I can let go and everything will be there in the morning. So if that's a pattern for you, skullcap is a really, really nice ally. You can take it in a tea. It doesn't taste bad. It tastes nice with a little touch of honey or even like a little bit of a mint or like a little bit of a peppermint or spearmint might be nice to blend with it because it is a little bit bitter. But I usually use a tincture with my kids. You can also find it as a glycerate if you prefer non-alcohol, you know, containing varieties of this medicine in a liquid form. So this is another great plant for sleep. It's non-habit forming. So you can take it every day as long as you need it. Sometimes I'll even take it in the middle of the afternoon if I'm feeling like things are getting a little tense or I'm starting to kind of spin out or getting overwhelmed. But it's definitely one that I use a lot in the evening time when it's time to start winding down. So skullcap for the win. Great, great plant. The next one is chamomile. And I think probably most of you are familiar with chamomile. Matthew Wood, one of my teachers, he says that this is for children of all ages. And what he means when he said that, he's kind of broken this down more, is like, we know how a lot of kids tend to whine. They tend to complain. They tend to be very vocal about what's wrong. And so if you're the type of even adult that tends to have to vocalize things and talk things through to start to feel better, chamomile is your ally. That's your plant. And so if you're having problems falling asleep and you just, you know, all you want to do is talk about it, write about it, figure it out, you know, lay in a bath full of your problems, and you're kind of like stuck in them, then the cheery spirit of chamomile can help lift you out of the muck and then help mother you into a state of relaxation. Here on the left, you can see this is a picture of chamomile growing in a field. It's kind of a natural, this is the Chamomilla matricaria. And then there's also the Roman one, which grows a little lower to the ground. This one grows a little bit higher. I like this one. This is the one I grow in my garden. I don't think that they're that different medicinally, but I just like this one because it's taller, bushier, and it actually yields a little more flower, which I like when I'm growing something in my garden. So it's a really nice herb to, and really we use the flower as the medicine, but it's a really nice plant to use as a tea. This is like probably my favorite herb for sleep that you can drink as a tea every night, safe for babies. You can give infants a little bit of this as well. You can give babies a bath in chamomile flowers. Obviously, you know, with a lot of infant stuff, you want to do maybe like a little patch test first, or you can water down the tea and just give them like a little drop on the tongue, see how they do. But generally speaking, this plant is very well tolerated in most people. So this is one that I give my girls very commonly before bed, because if they've had like a really busy day, or even myself have had like a busy day where things have been a little frenetic, maybe something big emotional happened, and I just need a little mothering, a little help with my nervous system to feel more protected and held, then I'll make both myself and my girls some chamomile tea. I like to add honey. I just like honey. I think it's an amazing medicine too. So I'll add a little touch of honey, and then that's a really nice evening ritual that you can do. So yeah, that's all I'll say about chamomile. Let's go on to the next herb, which is hops. So this one has a great Latin name, Humulus lupulus. It's kind of fun to say if you want to, Humulus lupulus, say it out loud. And this is an herb that grows pretty much all over North America. We have it wild here in Minnesota. When we first moved into our new house, we were taking a walk with the dogs, and all of a sudden I was like, wait a minute, there's wild hops growing over the ledge on the sidewalk, like in our neighborhood. So I was like, that's really cool. So you can find it in a lot of places. It really likes to grow in the South. I remember when Adam and I first met, we went to a house in Virginia at a friend's house. He was hosting a retreat, and they had hops growing on their front porch. And it was like this, it was summertime, and you could smell the hops. It was like this sticky, hoppy, bitter flower, very, very like almost tranquilizing. You just like, you smell, you breathe it in on the front porch, and you're like, oh, I just want to go lay down and like get cozy. So it has that effect even just as a herb that's growing around you. And so when you take a lot of those really sticky oils into your body, they're very, very relaxing and very soothing. And one thing that's different about this herb than the others I've talked about so far is that hops is very cooling. So if you tend to suffer from heat issues, like let's say you're menopause or perimenopausal, or you just are a hot sleeper and you tend to sweat at night, hops might be a really nice medicine because it's cooling and it's bitter. It also works on the liver. So it can be helpful with hormonal balance. It's one of those herbs that a lot of people, including myself, recommend for women who are going through menopause, because it's has some phytoestrogenic qualities, which can help balance estrogens in the body. And it helps with heat, with the excess heat that is a part of that transition. So this can be made as a tea. If you like the taste of hops and like, you know, IPAs and bitter things, you might really like it as a tea. And I would say that if bitter is not your jam, then definitely you would prefer it probably as a glycerate or as a tincture. This one also works well as a capsule. So if you can find a company, I really like Eclectic Herbs here in the US because they freeze dry their herbs before they powder and encapsulate them. And that really kind of helps to hold the strength of the medicine. I really like that. So if you can find a company near you that freeze dries their hops and then powders them or capsulizes them, that's a great way to go. I also wild harvested them. So I still have some downstairs and I've made shrubs and all sorts of different things with wild hops that I've seen and gathered. So you can, you know, make all sorts of different medicines, but for sleep, you might really find something you can take 30 minutes before bed is ideal. So pop a few capsules, maybe like 3 capsules for a tincture. I would do maybe 2 droppers full. That's going to be probably about maybe close to 3.5 to 4 milliliters, or like 30 drops. And as a glycerin, it would be about the same, like 30 drops or 2 to 3 droppers full. So that's a nice one. Different from the others, like I said, because it is going to be more cooling. And if you tend to wake up between 2 and 3 a.m., which is around the liver time in the Chinese calendar or the Chinese clock, it might be because you have some liver heat issues. And so that would make this one another great one. So if you're a night waker, especially 2 to 3 a.m., try this herb. And that's it for my slides. So I'm going to stop sharing. How did you like that? Was that fun to see the plants, to see the images? I always like to see them. So those are the herbs I have. So we started off with poppy. Then we talked about skullcap, chamomile, hops. And I'll end by just giving a few other ideas for sleep. And one thing that I do with my kids is I make spirit sprays, and I don't have any on my desk right now, but we'll make essential oil sprays that I mix with a little bit of witch hazel and water and spray that on their pillows and in their bedrooms before bed. I know if you've listened to my episodes with Summer, my daughter, she loves to talk about that because I went into her school and did that with her classmates. It was so cute. Every time she's on that, she's like, and then I spoke about spirit sprays. It's very, very sweet. So, but that's a really nice idea, is to get some aromatherapy in there. And herbs and essences and essential oils that are going to be relaxing are going to be things like rose, sandalwood, lavender is really nice. Vetiver is kind of heavy and very deep. But think about like your woody, maybe cedar wood, pine, things that are a little bit heavier, not the high notes. Lang Lang is also really nice. It's kind of soporific. It's kind of got that heavier, sweet scent to it. That's very relaxing. So you can mix those together in whatever way you'd like. And then, you know, just again, make sure that your environment is nice. You know, are your sheets clean? Do you have, you know, air circulating, sometimes having a fan in the background, making sure all the lights are off, especially blue light that can come from screens or TVs or alarm clocks. Try to cover, especially the blue lights in your room. Those have been shown to interfere with sleep. And you know what I do? I sleep with an eye mask on and earplugs because I was always a very heavy sleeper. And then after I had kids, my nervous system is just turned on because I'm so used to like waking up for the kids in the middle of the night. So I just go into kind of like my own little sensory deprivation when I fall asleep. And then usually an earplug falls out and then a kid screams and I'm like, okay, or I don't wake up and my husband does. So you can try, you know, try that too. If you can't, like I've lived in a lot of places where I can't block out the light because if it's like street lamp light or city light. So just use something to cover your eyes. Earplugs can be really helpful. Scent, hot baths before bed, you know, just give yourself a little extra love because if you've had especially a hard day or a hard week or a hard month or a hard year or a hard life, that little bit of extra care will do a lot of good. So I hope that's helpful. Let me know your thoughts. Do you have any other herbs that you would add to the mix? The only one that I was considering putting in, but I didn't, was passion flower because it doesn't work for me. I've tried it and I've tried different doses, and it just, I was like, I'm not going to put that on because I don't have good experience using it. So that just makes me more curious. I'm gonna have to learn more. So, but what have you used? What do you guys like? What helps you sleep, and what doesn't work? Maybe that's helpful too, for some of us to think about and process. So thanks all for watching, for listening, and have a good day.